No, I am not here to do announcements. All welcome to visitors, although I'm glad that you are here. If you're watching online, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Word of Life is going to understand that church starts at 9. If you don't get here at 9, you're left behind. Bars. Let me get my rhymes together. Thank God for online and archives and MP3s and CDs and all that good stuff so that people can come back and listen to whatever they need to hear. But the word of God don't wait on nobody. Truth doesn't wait. You know, God doesn't actually operate in time or space. We do that, so we become subjects to time. We do everything by time. Matter of fact, time controls our everything. It controls our relationship. It controls our money. It controls our productivity. It controls our importance. It controls everything. God does not work inside of our constructs. He's much bigger than we allow him to be in our souls and in our minds. Notice in our soul and our mind. Many times when we ministers, I don't just put ministers, but from pulpits as a whole, we search, we study, we get notes, we get an outline together so we can come on Sunday or whatever Bible study is and convince you about something. To convince you about God and how good he is. And to convince you that he wants more for you. And then even sometimes, you know, we get the new thing with identity now, so I'm trying to convince you of who you are. This morning, I don't have any convincing to do. Hold on before you clap. This is not a convincing service. This will be an absolute service. Which means that God is absolute, his plan is absolute, his ways are absolute. They've always been absolute. The only thing that's changed is us. The only thing in the equation that wavers is you and I. We don't need to ask him to come and do some great miraculous thing. He's already sent his only begotten son and died and rose again. Shed all the blood for us. Okay? He's given us laws and letters. We've got an entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation explaining to us our relationship with who he is already. Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's not changing his mind. He's not changing his mind. He's not changing his MO. He's not changing his mode of operation. He's not changing the way that he does things or how he has planned to do things. As a matter of fact, when he did it in the beginning, it was finished. I'll say it again. When he did it in the beginning, it was finished. The end of the story was in Genesis. The only difference is we started writing another story. We called the audible. In sport, they call it an audible. The play already set, but you call it audible to change the play. It was already finished. I read it, and I don't have time to go there. We spend a lot of times in service. That's why it takes a long time to preach sometimes. We spend a lot of times trying to go to scriptures to convince you of something that maybe you need to read on your own. All right, grow up, church. Grow up, church. Amen. But in the beginning, he said he made all these things. He made the earth, formed the animals, made man, gave man dominion and everything. And he said he looked at everything, and he said it was good. He looked at everything he had made, including you. Say, include me. Including. Come on, say, include me. Including. One more time, say, including me. Including. Looked at everything that he made, and he said, you know what? This is good. I looked up what good means. It means it's pleasing. It's agreeable. Like I can get with this. It's good. It was done. It was all finished and done. I don't want to go to the story. Y'all know the story. We talk about the story all the time. I have to go into it. But I heard this before I left out. Us eating from the tree, and I'm saying us, because we can't blame it on Adam and Eve because we eat from the tree on a daily. Absolute. Everybody say absolute.
Absolute.
Come on, say absolute.
Absolute.
Come on, one more time, say absolute.
Absolute.
I do want you to feel good when you leave out of here. Right? But you feeling good and not being good is incomplete. Is feeling good wrong? No, no. No, nothing wrong with feeling good, but if you feel good but you don't know who you are, something's missing. If you feel good but you haven't dealt with the thing that causing a recurring injury or a recurring problem or a recurring pain on the inside of you, you have not finished the course yet. We eat from the tree, and I heard this right before I walked out. You do study and everything, but, you know, God do like you want to do. And your job is to be a yielded vessel and be open to how he wants to move. Right? 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 We should learn that more. Everybody say yield.
Yield.
Come on, say it again. Say yield.
Yield.
Don't build what you want. Don't build your life and build your plan and build everything and then offer it to God and tell him bless it. We do this a lot. It's the same thing on the tree. So what happened in the tree? Can we find ourselves? Everybody say, let me find me. Come on, say it loud. Say, let me find me this morning. Watch this. What we've done is when we eat from the tree, when we eat from the knowledge of good and evil, we told God that we rather learn by knowledge than personality. So I'd rather go read it in a book than talk to you personally. I'd rather somebody tell me secondhand, because if you tell me firsthand, I don't know if I can handle it. Or I don't really want that firsthand instruction, because that firsthand instruction comes with responsibility. So sometimes I don't want to say that I'm one with the Father, I'm one with God, me and God are the same, and me and God walk in the same manner, and he made me in his image. Sometimes I don't want to really own all the way up to that, because what comes with that, yes, power, glory, increase, and yes, health, but along with that comes responsibility. You healthy and everybody around you not healthy is incomplete. You provided for and everybody else around you not provided for is an incomplete thing. See, what we really thought, what's the greatest commandment in the law? I don't have time to go there. Once again, I won't go there. Great commandment. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, and your soul, right? And the second is just like it. What? Love you as you love yourself. As means the same time, same way. The word as, that means as. That means do it the same time at the same way. Okay, watch this. And although Jesus, you got to understand him. And when I would hope that you study a little bit more about Jesus. Because we love him, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see. And we praise him and he's our champion and all these different things. So I hope that we would go and do what, put our money where our mouth is. When it comes down to Christ. Comes down to Jesus. Comes down to the red words. We decided that we would rather learn from words or learn from a lesson than learn from a personality, which is God. And the personality of God changes you into him. Everything before Jesus was law. Everything before Christ, everything before you start seeing him talk, everything before you see the red words, all of that is law. All right? And the law is a good thing. Everything before Jesus was law. It was pointing to a tablet with some things on it to tell you what God wants you to do. Everything before Jesus was law. Everything after Jesus' letter. You go read it. The New Testament is really Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Everything after that is letter. You got the book of Acts and you got letters. Your letter, the scripture says, even Paul said this about his own letters. He said a letter itself, kill it. Right? In other words, if you take these letters and try to live by these letters without connecting to the life, you'll never have progress like you should. So everything before Jesus, law. And rightfully so, we needed law. Laws were responsive. The law was given to respond to our foolishness. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
The law was given to respond to our wanting to govern ourselves. When we eat from the tree, we say, hey, God, I know you got a plan. Hey, God, I know you set it up. Hey, God, I know it's already done, but let me try it this way. Hey, God, I know that you made this and you made it good, and I didn't even know how I got here unless you put me here, but I'm going to do it this way. And can you bless it? Can you bless the way that I'm going? Can you bless my understanding instead of me dying to my ways and changing to yours? So everything before Jesus' law, everything after Jesus' letter, all these words, these words, these words, these words, these words, these instructions, these words, these one, two, three, one, two, three, and we fail miserably at them. Nor do we see the results that we should see. Can I get an amen? Amen. We don't see the things that we should be seeing. If we own it up in this church this morning and we be honest with ourselves, we don't see the greater works. I'm going to read John 14 a minute. He said, the works that I do, what he said? No, who going to do them? Who? Hold on. Who? Everybody say me. Me, like you raise your hand like the question. Me. He said, the works that you're going to do, right? And then he said, greater works that you're going to do because I'm going to the Father. Have we seen that? No. Don't lie to me. Have we seen it? Answer me loud. Have we seen it? What's the problem? No. Me. Who?
Me.
Are you sure you know you're the problem?
Yes.
I'm going to slow down this morning, man. Are we sure that we know that we're the issue in this equation? Because sometimes I don't think we know because of how we function. We do things religiously, traditionally. When something does come to change, we don't want to change because we're stuck. We don't want to do anything a little different. We don't want to challenge our frame of thinking. But we know it don't look like what he said it's supposed to look like. Well, I know you got dressed this morning. I know you wouldn't. I know you got some different things in your closet, but you really wanted to match, didn't you? And if something didn't match, you take it off and put the thing on there, right? You want. Hold on. We like everybody. If you like the match, say amen.
Okay.
Right. Hey, come on, simple. You like the match. So if something doesn't match, what do you do with it? You change it?
Yeah.
No. No, you don't change what don't match. You just say, I'm going to just go with it. Maybe this is going to be a new trend. I'm just going to wear this one. I'm going to start something new.
Yeah.
Looking crazy out here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Sometimes you ever had an outfit in there that you put on and you thought they was going to match because you had an idea in your head?
Yeah.
That red and that red. And I can make it match. Then when you put it on, it didn't go together at all. And so what you do? Change. Everybody say change.
Change.
Come on, say it again, say change.
Change.
Come on, say it again, say change.
Change.
Now, we have always got to be willing to change. We are surrounded and engulfed and daily challenged by thoughts that are not of God. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about whatever the worst thing you thought in your head just now. Some of those simple things that you think are the right things are incomplete things. And so they don't finish the plan. Yes, it's good to pray, but what are you praying about? Yes, pray. Is praying right? Yes, but what are you praying about? Jesus said, when you pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth.
Yeah.
Never told us to give him a list of what we were looking for. Is praying right? Yes, but your prayers may be incomplete. And inside of his will is everything that you were trying to list anyway. When we ate from this tree, can you listen for a second?
Yeah.
And this eating from the tree is a common everyday lifestyle. It's not in Genesis. It's right now. Everybody say right now.
Right now.
It's not in Genesis. Not Adam and Eve. What's your name? Say your name. It's them. And so what we've done? Now Jesus starts saying stuff, and I gotta go over this. But Jesus starts saying stuff like, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." But it doesn't make sense because if you look at life, it doesn't seem like that all the time. And he says stuff like one thing is needful. But we got a list of like 29 that we need to think that we somebody. You hear me, Russ? He told Richard, one thing you're lacking. Just one thing. And he still went away sad because he didn't want to do that one thing. And the simplicity of it is an absolute thing. Everybody say absolute. Absolute. It's an absolute thing. But because we step off into the way that we want to do things, it becomes a list. And it becomes complicated and it becomes difficult when everything on your list is in the one thing. Amen, amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everything that's on your list is in that one thing. I can prove it. These are things that we have to read in our own personal time. We don't just read the scripture when we come to church on Sunday. Hopefully. Right, but Matthew 6, he told us that. He said in the same time, he said, same chapter that he said that prayer, that when you pray, pray like this. The only time he told us a way to pray. He didn't tell us all these other ways we learn to pray. He just told us one prayer. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Pray after this manner. That's in verse 9. And then further down, you know, we like to jump to verse 33, but he starts listing all these things that you've been concerned about all your life. What you going to eat? What you going to drink? What you going to wear? Who I'm going to marry? Who I'm going to be with? How my family? Take care of my kids. All these different things. He said, listen, could you calm down, please? I know that you need these things. I know that you believe you need these things. I know that this is what makes you comfortable. I get it. I got you. I'm God. We forget, so I'm God. I know everything. I know that you need that. But how you're doing it is not the way to get your needs met. Well, I won't do that, but I'll do it. How many millionaires in the house? Raise your hand. No. Not by faith. I'm alive in Jesus' name. No. I'll sit right now. Take me to the bank. All right, and I'm just using that for this because everybody goes to work. And so we don't want nobody to talk about money, but everybody go to work. So I'm just using whatever these things that we aspire to, right? Are they done? Are they finished? Are you there now? Is that going on right now? Because if it's not, then something needs to. Got this list. He says, "Why we're here." Amen. Are you here for that?
Yes.
This morning, did you come to hear this?
Yes.
Y'all came looking for an apostle this morning. He here. Y'all got to realize that I do not care. Ooh, it's freedom. Who need to change?
Me.
We answer slow right there. Who need to change?
Me.
No, God need to show himself strong in my life. No, who need to change?
Me.
God, show me your glory. No, who need to change?
Me.
Pour out your spirit upon all flesh. No, who need to change?
Me.
So there's a list. And we complicate God. We complicate our relationship with the Father by doing things the way that we want to do them. And it is because, I was saying it when I walked over there, it is because we are flooded with society's idea. We're flooded with it. It's coming in all day long. And we start doing what society does in Jesus' name.
You're preaching good.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So be it. It is what it is. We begin to do what society says is the norm in tongues. And rarely do we allow ourselves, and I'm going to say this, to be challenged, to be changed. We've gotten so used. I talk to the Lord because what I'm doing this morning, this could be a burden. When you see what should be, and are trying to convey that, and sometimes people don't see. So I go to sleep with that. See, I go to sleep with knowing that you're more than what you are, And I, in my mind, well, what word could I say it to make them understand it? What example could I get to make them understand that you're greater than what you're being and your complaints are only because you're not changing? Because we don't see the things that we should see are the things that already be in us. I'll say it again. It's already God is not trying to do it for you. Let me be clear with you. We'll live our life for the rest of our lives thinking God is about to do something for us. He's not trying to do it for you. That's welfare. Y'all think God is a God? God is not a God of welfare. So he's not trying to be the one to take care of your problems for you. I know you thought, tell the truth, you thought God was doing it for you, huh? Can I get an amen? You thought God was doing it. I know. God, do it for me, Lord. Do it for me, Jesus. Handle that. I'm going to send my angels to go take care of that for me. Go do it for me, Lord. It's an incomplete thought. It's an incomplete lifestyle. It's an incomplete being. You have a problem. You tell God, go handle your problem. What part do you play? God ain't trying to write the story without you. He never intended for you to read the story. No, listen to me. He never intended for you to read the story. You know, you're reading the Bible and think it's a story about some other people and we get happy and clap. No, it's about you. He never intended you for read the story and leave yourself out. The whole thing is about you. The whole thing is about you and him. The whole thing is about you in him and him in you. The entire thing. I know we didn't learn that when we were younger. And I know that when we come up in Word of Faith, and the Word of Faith, you know, faith, the Word of Faith told us to study the letters. Right. Study Paul. We the book of Acts. Right. Study Paul. And a lot of times we didn't study Jesus when he's in that book the whole time telling you it's you. The entire time from between all those red words, the only thing he's saying the whole time is, look at you. Don't need a mighty rushing wind for this one, this message. I don't need rain to fall from heaven right now. We don't need to be fall laid prostrate at the altar for this one. We need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to what's right there with us for a second. Much of it, watch this, and then you just calm down. Much of it doesn't have to really be revealed to you because it's wide open in the plain. Your greater works you're going to do. You and the Father, and I mean you and me. But we dare not to spend time with those things that cause change. Jesus makes a statement. He makes some statements, man. He makes some tough ones. And we, because it's hindsight, because 2,000 years later, and because we've watered it down and dumbed it down a little bit, we've made Jesus a figurehead. He's the figurehead of Christianity. He's the face of Christianity. Although Christianity wasn't his religion. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We made him a figurehead. So they got him all, you know, they got the cross. Right? Some people make the cross. They got a cross on the chain, put them in a manger in the yard during Christmas. He's a figurehead. He's the face of the company. You didn't even realize he's showing you you. He says some outrageous things sometimes, and I don't know if they're outrageous or they're just outrageous to us because we're stuck in our ways. I don't know if they're really outrageous. Is it really like miraculous or really just we on the wrong side of the track? Amen. Is it really, Jesus never used the word supernatural. Come Lord Jesus this morning. Because it's his nature. For me to call it super would mean that it's something else other than I am. Look at your neighbor, tell him grow up. Look at your neighbor, tell him grow up. I don't want us to live our whole entire lives looking for something that we are. I do not, I use this word lightly, and I say I am afraid, but I'm not really scared. I'm concerned. I'm not really overly concerned. I'm just aware that many of us will live and possibly live and die and never scratch the surface of who God called us to be. Not all this stuff that we're doing. It's not a career. It's bigger than a career. It's bigger than a relationship. It's bigger than a commitment. And who he says you are and who he tells you you are infills everything that you should do. But if I don't know the who, then the how doesn't matter. You know, it's the same letters though. H-O-W, W-H-O. I heard somebody ask the apostle the other day. I hear you talking about how we have things a lot, but how? You didn't think I was listening, did you? He said, but how the how was in the who. The how was in the who. The how is in the identity. Many times we try to do things to identify ourselves and we're going backwards. And so we fail at the doing and then become discouraged or doubtful when in actuality who you are is really in filling everything. Sound like Greek to you right now, huh? It's okay. We know everything else. We know how to drive. We know how to wash clothes. We know how to go to work. We know how to balance a checkbook sometimes. We know how to do a lot of stuff, right? The thing that we struggle with the most is who we are in Christ. And so he says this. Watch this. He said this, and it's tough. This is a tough one. This is a tough one I'm about to tell you, all right? But he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Those don't get amens. Because thou, he told called Peter, I don't have time to go to the story. He fed the people, then they owned the boat. They complained. I'm going to do it fast. He fed the people 5,000, right? He fed the people. Now they own the boat going to the other side. They complaining, talking about who didn't bring bread. Jesus said, did you not see that I can make bread out of nothing? Go ahead and let me go ahead and make bread. So then finally, because they didn't understand, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? They start talking about their opinion on the street. Some say, thou a prophet, all this. He said, okay. But who you say I am? Peter jumps up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus got excited. Say, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you of my Father in the heaven. He said, because you understand who I am, you'll know who you are. Listen, and he said, because you know who you are, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Matter of fact, I really ain't gave them to you because you understand you got them now. Like you had them in you already, but because you understand, now you can unlock some things. Listen, I'm trying to get through this. And so I'm going to give you keys. What you bind on earth is going to be bind in heaven, not what God binds. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, who going to loose it? What you loose? Good to see you, boy. I love you. Glory to God. What you do?
Yes, sir.
He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So Jesus' slap goes off.
Yes.
Then he starts saying how it's going to happen.
Come
on. I'm going to give you the key to your cross until you got to die. He starts saying how it's going to happen.
Yep.
He says he's going to do all this, loose, bind and loosen.
Yep.
Uh-huh. All that. Whew. And then he starts explaining to him, well, see, the high priest, the holy people, are going to crucify me for talking like this. or they're going to kill me. Mm-hmm. And they're going to beat me, and they're going to embarrass me in front of everybody. I'm explaining to you how binding the earth, binding the heaven, binding the earth, binding the heaven going to happen. I'm explaining to you how to handle the keys. Actually, this is the key. He began to tell them how they were going to take him and they were going to beat him and they were going to crucify him and he was going to be embarrassed. They begin to tell him that this is how this is going to happen. This is what Christ looks like. I know you think he got a white robe on and he's flying, and I know you think that's what it looks like to be Christ-like. No, Christ-like look like dying to your ideas and dying to your ways and dying to the way that we're trying to do it other than him. He starts explaining. Peter says, no, Lord. He rebuked him. They say he rebuked Jesus. No, it ain't going to be like that to you. And Jesus immediately says, get behind me, Satan. That boy went from Peter, the rock. to Satan. And he explained to him why he called him Satan. He said, because thou savorest, or you are after, or you model yourself after the things that be of men and not of God. Right. Most of us trying to resist the devil and then we need to run. You being your own devil sometimes. Okay, hold on. Get behind me, Satan. Because, what does because mean? What does because, this be the cause. This is why I'm calling you Satan. Because thou savest the things that be of men and not of God. You become a hindrance to me because you've done it another way. You know, rich young ruler went away sad because he had to take the cross too. He was telling him the same thing, die. Deny yourself. Now, the struggle is that we built so many things on our own that it's hard for us to comprehend that thought process. Jesus starts saying some challenging things, and a lot of times we look over them. We look over them real quick because we don't want to deal with that, because that means I gotta. We didn't come for change this morning, did we? We come for a blessing. Bless me this morning. Lord, put your anointing. I'm going to anoint you to change. Yeah, this is the anointing to change. Yeah, I'm anointing your soul right now. I'm anointing your soul. Whether you feel it or not, I don't need you to feel it. I'm anointing your soul. You're going to be thinking about this after you leave here today, and that's what I want. I need you to be contemplating this and mulling this over in your mind. Where is it that I'm not like Christ? I'm not talking about being flawless right now. Because flawless ain't even, that word is not even a word that's used. He's talked about perfection, being full of your purpose, being mature, growing up. And then not only did he say grow up, Paul talked about in Ephesians, growing up into him in all things. And so I got some changes to make. Say it. There's two CH words that go together. There's change and then there's choice. Yeah, there's choice. And I've got to choose to make some. God is not trying to do it for you. He's not trying to come in and be your hero. He's already heroed you. He's already done that. This is absolute. God's will is absolute and it does not change. It is never wavered. It's not a sound wave. It doesn't go up and down. It is like this. This is the standard of God. And we have to change ourselves according to it. Not try to get it to come down to us. Send your glory, Lord. No, be the glory. Send me your power, Lord. No, be the power. You remember, it's correct, but incomplete. Do you remember, the man at the pool of Bethesda? Y'all familiar with that story? Yeah. And they said the angel will come down, seasonal. They had no date. So it's just seasonal, by chance. The angel will come down and trouble the water. And the first person that get in, they get healed. Right? This is a good thing, ain't it? But it's incomplete. So when Jesus shows up, right, the guy explains how he been doing things. Well, I've been sitting out here for so many years waiting for the water to be troubled, waiting for somebody to come and save me, waiting for something special to come out the air to change my situation. But I've been failing miserably because I've been sitting out here for years. And hold on, watch this. Because you're saving the thing that'll be a man and not of God. And I don't have a man to put me in the pool.
Come on now.
I ain't got no man to put me in the pool. Well, you out of luck, partner. You already lame and can't move, and you ain't got no man to put you in the pool where it looks like you're doomed. There is no hope for somebody like you. Cool. And I guarantee, you ready? I guarantee they had people around there making a whole revival of service around that troubling of the water.
Come on. Yeah.
I bet there was a church right next to it called Trouble Water Christian Center. Yeah, because magnificent, we want that. Trouble Water Christian Center. They probably had, actually, the way churches go, they probably had about 10 of them around now. You know, we build right around the block of everybody. Trouble in the water seemed exciting and magnificent, and some people got healed. Because there was no way for, I mean, it's a story. So they didn't write and say that the water troubled and somebody stepped in and we saw him got healed. It was just telling us what happens. If you go read it, right? So obviously some people did get healed, and there was some troubling of the water. And amen for that. But then Jesus comes and says, what you waiting on the water for? You are the water. That's what he came for. See, that was the point. In case that was the point. That was his whole point. If we calm down and read Jesus. That's the point. That you're waiting for something to happen to you instead of happening.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. You hear me, Ma? I need. God is looking for you to happen.
Yeah.
I need you to unfold and happen. I need you to happen. I don't need something to happen to you to make you think that you're somebody. You already are. Say, I already am.
Already.
But I need you to happen. And then he tells me, he said, take up your bed. And then he said, your faith made you whole. You did this. You did this by believing. You did this. Watch Jesus. I'm going to show you Jesus right quick. I'm going to show you Jesus talking about you. Can I go through it real quick? Let me show you talking to you. Good master, what I do to inherit eternal life? He said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one that's God. So I need you to not have the attention on me, because if you keep looking at me so much, you won't see you.
Come on.
If you run to me for me to lay my hands on you and it happens like this, you got to keep coming to me. And that ain't how I built you. When I built you, I breathed into you like me. I didn't build you to be needy. I didn't build you to need a handout. I didn't build you to need hands laid on you. I didn't build you to need somebody to smear you with something. I built you smeared from the inside already. This is how God feels. I asked God the other day. I said, God, let me think like you think. Not the normal, cool Christian thing. No. I need to think. Like, what are you thinking? How do you think this should be? And then how do you think that I should be? What is it about me that doesn't look like your thoughts? Can you show me that, please? I don't need nothing else. Show me that. I'm not asking for nothing else. I'm going to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let me see who you made me to be in you. If I can see that, then I'll change. I don't need no more religion. I don't need no more steps. We all stepped out. We just stepped in the name of love. We just stepped in the name of Jesus. Remember they building that tower to heaven? You remember they're building that tower to heaven? You know, we say, well, they're going to get to heaven. The reason he tore it down, because they didn't need the tower to heaven, because heaven is here. The journey from Egypt to the promised land was 3 days. 3 days sound familiar, don't it? It was a 3-day journey, but it took them 40 years. Now we can blame it on leadership. We can blame it on the people was crazy. You know, we got our own. He never won't listen, right? No, the truth of the matter is they had to stay out there 40 years because they were trying to get somewhere that they were already. Say, I am the promised land. Come on, say it again. Say, I am the promised land. All right, before you get all deep, remember you made out the what? What he made you out in the beginning? Dirt. All the land is dirt. So you get out, no, I am the promised land. Say it, I am the promised land. Well, how much more promise you need? You walking in the middle of the desert and you got food every day though. They got food every day. Hold on, not only do they have food every day, but it's food that they don't have to put in a savings account.
That's right, that's right.
Matter of fact, he told them, you can't store it. Because when you try to store it, you stop trusting me and trusting who you are in me. So I won't let you store it, so it'll be rotten by the night is over, so you can look for me again. How much more promise you need? What you want? You need something to eat? You need something to drink? You need some money? When they left out the children of Israel, this is the craziest thing in the world. God told them, go ask them all for their jewels and all their riches. The slaves gonna ask the master for their jewels. Well, what you gonna do with them? Where y'all going with them? And then y'all leave, and they didn't come running after you trying to get their jewels. You left, so you had the riches.
Right. Definitely.
You had riches, you had food, the stuff, the basic necessity. You had all the riches you need, but you couldn't spend it nowhere because I took you somewhere where you couldn't spend it.
Yeah.
You had all the food you need. Huh? They out there, and they're striking rocks and water coming out. You go read that story a little bit. They're striking rocks and water's coming out. And I believe when I studied that, I understand that there's such a diversion of attention. Listen to me. There's a diversion of attention. I love it when it's quiet in church because you're listening to me. There's a diversion of attention that I'm so busy looking to the geographical promised land that they say is flowing with milk and honey that I don't understand that it flows out of me. And so I cannot even see the promise being fulfilled right now in me. Because I said it's over there. Meanwhile, stuff is falling out of the sky to feed you. No bakeries around, no stores, no grocery stores. I think sometimes that hurt us sometimes. I appreciate the grocery store, but I think sometimes our idea of going get something makes us forget what we have. It's fulfilling the promise right there. Where you were. And I'll let you walk around for 40 years because I need you to understand it. Because if I let you go over there, you're going to get relaxed. And you possibly will never be what I expected you to be. I want you to do it like me. And don't be cute right now, but I want you to do it like me because it's for my mind. I want you to say, it's all right here. Come on, do it again. Say, it's all right here. And try to get as tight as you can, because this right here is how we live. It's all right here. It's all right here. No, I'm right. It's all right here. Well, can somebody speak into your life? Can a man of God speak into your life? Yes, that's correct, but it's incomplete if you don't know he's telling you who you are. It don't even connect. The man of God can speak great things over you, prophesy over you and everything, but if you don't know that's you, and you don't know that's who you are, and you don't know who you are when the man of God ain't there talking to you, when you can't get him on the phone. Because the whole point is for you to know who you are. The whole point is to know that the power that I sent into this earth, I sent it in you. Jesus got them looks too. So he looked at Jesus like, huh? Jesus told him, you must be born again. And the Nicodemus said, what? He said, I got to go back into the belly? How a man going to go back in and then come out? I'm grown. He said, ain't you a high priest? Hadn't you been going? Didn't you graduate ministry school? Old statement says, change ain't change, tell you what.
Change.
And insanity is doing the
same thing.
Well, we're expecting something different, right? And the biggest thing is, the biggest problem is becoming comfortable with what is. And then convincing yourself that this is the way it's supposed to be. Trick of the enemy. It's diversion. You remember we talking about diversion? It's a focus diversion. And so if I keep getting you look at the promised land over there, you don't realize the promised land right here. He's breathing to me the life, his life. I am life. Say, I am life.
I am life.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am life.
I am life.
Come on, now, if you think your life without God, you're incomplete.
That's right.
So don't get scared. God is above all, in all, and through you all. John 1 talking about this light was the light of men that lighteth all men that cometh into the world. So you know, we don't want to talk about being I am that, because the first thing you start, then it's the enemy. Well, you're going to think you somebody. No. I am because he is. As he is in his world, so am I in his world. I am because he is, and we're together in this. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. This is diversion. So diversion happens at the beginning. Diversion happens where life is there and everything is there, and all you have to do is start naming things. You start naming things to be what you call them to be.
Yes, sir.
But diversion says, well, if you'll be just like God if you eat from this tree. If you go do this, it'll work out the way you want it to work out. So I get you to look everywhere else but inside. One of the definitions of prayer in the old Greek and in the Greek and Hebrew is written all different ways. One of the original definitions of prayer is introspective. Deep word. That means look on the inside. That means spectacle. I study what's on the inside of me. I look on the inside before I start complaining about what's on the outside. What is it that I'm attracting? What is it that I don't like that I believe in? Because I believe in it. I talk about it more than I talk about Jesus. To myself. Introspective. So if I can get you to divert a little bit, if I can get you to shift your eyes a little bit, sleight of hand. Look over here, you don't see what this hand doing. If I can get you to shift your attention just a little bit, you'll never see who you are. And then what happens is our attention shifts and then it goes off into oblivion. And then we live our whole lives on a shifted attention. When it's right here. And it's who you are. And you have it already. Sound like Greek, because you start counting the things. Well, look at my bank account, it ain't in there right now. Oh, look at my it's not in there. No. It's not. Those things are not. Those things are indications of your soul towards what God says you are already. Yeah. Yeah, your outside is an indication of your inside. You heard the pastor talking about the inner conversation the other day? Huh? Scripture said the buns of the heart, the mouth speak. Whatever goes on the inside, that produces. But not the other way around. But we believe it's the other way around. Where if this shows up, then I have something. If this happens, then I'm powerful. I'm not looking for nothing to say. I'm just waiting for you to think. Think about some of the changes that I need to make. Think about some of the focus that I need to have on Jesus. Think about how much I have not been paying attention to who he said I was. I've been in church forever. Some of y'all been in there forever longer than me. And I done seen a lot of revivals. I've seen a lot of waves. I've seen a lot of great men of God come and go. I'm still waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Still waiting on us. We're still waiting on us to know who we are. Hear me, though? Like, we're still waiting on us to block out the noise and block out the hoopla. A lot of hoopla come from us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are you listening? If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
He says, seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear. And with their heart, they don't. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand their heart. And then they said they'll be converted. We'll be changed. We'll be converted into who we already were. John chapter 14. These will be my closing scriptures. John chapter 14, and then I want you to put your finger there. There's two scriptures we're going to go to, and I need you to go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And I have to show you, not show you, but you've read these things before, but I want to kind of stamp them home. This is not story time. This is just telling the truth. Philippians chapter 2. And I start at verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not to every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Some good instructions, right? Verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Okay, so now hold on. It says, let that mind be in you. Okay, he explains. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. Then he begins to explain what this mind is. Who being in the form of God? Say, I am. The form of God. Who formed you? Okay. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's where you get nervous at. But made of himself no reputation. So I didn't make a reputation of myself based on these things around me. Or based on what society says a good whatever is. I didn't get the reputation. I didn't need all that. I don't need you to call me whatever you think you're trying to call me. Good master, Messiah, all that. I don't need all that. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Wherefore God has all, we can't get this exalted part until we do the part before that. Wherefore God has all highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye is always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. In order for me to work it out, it's got to come from. With fear and trembling. Verse 13. Read it. Ready, read. Read it again. Read it again. Now put me in there, for it's God that worketh in me. Read it. He don't, hold on, stop. So he don't work outside you. He not going to work on your problems. It is God, and he operates. To will. Both to will. And to do. Where that's at? Where? Say it loud. John 14. And before we read John, let me leave something with you real quick. I beg you, or we can use implore you, or whatever words we want to use. I'm stressing to you that you have got, listen, this is not an option. If you want to live life on and not really be everything you're supposed to be, cool. Don't listen to what I'm about to say right now. But if there's something else that you're expecting to come from you and you believe there's more in you, you have got to drench your soul with these red words. If you do not, you will not. It is not optional. Not for this life. You've got to study Christ in an explicit way. Almost to the point where you can't take your heads out of the gospel. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? You've been a Christian how long, and you still don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So how sayest thou, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest not thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Read from that butt. You read. Ready, read.
But the Father that dwelleth in me.
Say it again. But the
Father that dwelleth in
me. Do it again.
The Father that dwells in me
does the work. Well, how are you doing the work? Through me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for very works sake. For verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, then he takes it straight. So he makes it clear that he's not talking about him and not you. In verse 12, read it. Say loud, pause, and calmly think about this. Read it again.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall he do.
no greater works, something wrong with my belief. If the greater works are not happening, I ain't talking about greater than your neighbor. That's not a good judge. We comparing each other. I'm not talking about that. The greater works is probably something you ain't never seen before. It's not whatever you've glorified. It's going to be something you've never seen before. It's going to be something that's outrageous and never seen before. And nobody going to be able to get the credit for it but God in you. You can't work through a clogged pipe, though. Clogged with my thoughts and my understandings and my ways and my abilities and my strength. Stand on your feet. No clap. Nobody clap, please. I appreciate it, but you know. When you have a little cut and go on, surgery, anybody ever had surgery before? Yeah, you don't get up and get to running and right after. You got to lay there for a minute. Keep quiet and conserve your energy. And it's a lot of thinking time you got when you're sitting there. We need a little bit more of that. Life rushes us so much and it gets us shifting so much and we manage problems more than being the answer. And so we are changed. Come on, say we are changed. Come on, say we are changed. Come on, say we are changed and changing at the same time. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, high five your neighbor, hug your neighbor.